Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris owns Skin and Tonic Med Spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today, we're happy to continue our episode with Sam that you saw on last week's. So much more to enjoy.
As we jump back into our conversation with Sam Lionelli, owner of Combat Syndicate, a serial entrepreneur, we're going to talk much more about Combat Syndicate today, which is Sam's gym, and he also has a martial arts program that really is focused on people from all ages. So he has a wide range of ages at his facility, helping them both physically and mentally. So we started talking about that some last week. We just barely scratched the surface though. So we're going to talk more about that today. And really what I think both of us found fascinating was his work with troubled or underprivileged youth.
Basically his passion for helping people.
Yeah, his passion is so obvious every time I talk to him. So we're really happy to continue this conversation today.
So let's do it.
So tell me, I think I know the answer to this, but you said this was the first kid that really kind of opened your eyes, made you want to do this more, made you want to do this as a business. This training changes people mentally as much as it does physically. Do you see that pretty consistently?
Yeah. So just like the martial arts side of it, it's, you know, the discipline you get from it and the confidence that it brings. And then also like we've had people lose 40, 50 pounds and they're doing classes and like, we're not having them in there, like necessarily do workouts. They're just coming in there and doing the classes and it's a workout on top of that. So you're losing weight, you're feeling better about yourself, you're learning something cool. And like that does so many things for your mental health. They just like walk out of there feeling good every day because they're working out, they're having some people that are championing for them. And again, they're learning. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, you know what? I was like, the thing that's cool about martial arts is like, if you get a black belt in martial arts and you're 60 years old, people still think it's the coolest thing in the entire world. Like your grandkids would be like, oh, you know, so-and-so has a black belt. Like it never goes away. You can be like the star football player on, you know, basketball, whatever you want in school. And eventually that stuff kind of goes away. But like, whatever it is, if you get a black belt in martial arts, so it never stops being cool. So that's something else. So those kids, they just feel good because they're like, I'm doing, this is awesome. I'm going to be so cool.
I mean, that's what you competed on the blocks with. And how did you hear about the blocks and what made you decide you wanted to do this with this particular business, do the show with the particular business?
So the other, like the ice cream store I have, it's a franchise, it's a marble slab. So like, I just kind of is what it is type business. But this is also what I'm passionate about. And this is what I'm like actively trying to grow and build on. So, you know, that was the decision to do it. But as far as like hearing about the blocks, I was on Instagram, like everybody says, just scrolling along. And I seen that on there and I was like, that looks kind of cool. And I clicked on it. And honestly, I probably seen it on Instagram, the ad, probably five or six times before I was like actually serious about it. I clicked on it every single time, but then I would just move on. And I think one day I was just kind of sitting there and, you know, this last couple of years after the breakup and stuff, it's been kind of a wild couple of years. And I think I needed like a reset and I needed like to be around my people, so to speak. Like, well, you guys know, like being around entrepreneurs is different than, you know, just it's hard to have some conversations with people that aren't doing it because they don't understand. You have to be careful what you say, because and then are you bragging, like, you know, in or they you can't say like, hey, this is going bad here, because it's like, well, they look at you and they're like, oh, well, look at all you have, like, and you're really going to sit around and complain. So it's hard to like, there's not really a lot of connection. It's kind of lonely, I guess you would say. So I knew that it was going to be packed with entrepreneurs and people that, you know, had drive and were doing stuff. And I just I just needed that.
Yeah, there's really not many other places that you would get a group of people and they would talk about their gross and net revenue and exit strategies and things like that without feeling like it's bragging or I shouldn't say something when in fact it's really not. In that setting, people are trying to figure out how they can be better and for using those numbers as kind of a surrogate marker of success. So you can say, if somebody's made it to this number in this similar type of industry, how can I get there? What is the trick? And to be around people that openly shares that is one of the things that I always feel really inspiring. And one of the reasons I love being a part of the show when we were there as contestants and being back this past week as a coach was really fun.
I think a group of entrepreneurs is also one of the few places that you can, someone can say they have a gross income of $1.5 million a year and still don't have money.
And still be broke. Yeah.
That would conversate. And you know what I love about it is like, it's so many random people, like it's, you know, so many different backgrounds and, you know, it's just a lot of random people and, you know, that are just all doing the same thing. It's judgment free and nobody cares. And it's just, I love it, man. It's just like, I've been to a lot of masterminds and things like that and, you know, business trainings and they're fine. You sit there, you learn stuff, but like the blocks, like doing that and like actually getting to like connect and spend time talking to these entrepreneurs and people that are, it was way, way better than anything else I've ever done. It was just awesome.
I was way more intimidated going back as a coach than I was a contestant because there I just had to worry about my business. And I think what was intimidating to me this time was the variety of businesses because from a business standpoint and a medical standpoint, it's like in this space, like I will own that. I can talk to you about it all day long. But when people come to me in different industries, different spaces like yourself, it makes it, from my standpoint, I'm like, am I going to be able to give something back that's valuable to these contestants? So I was really intimidated. He knows I was like up late trying to study up on different industries. And
were you ever in Chris's pod, Sam?
No. So I wasn't in his pod. The only, like we got to do the breakfast and finally talk a little bit, but I did hear a lot of good stuff about your pod. So I heard people were talking good about you and saying that, oh, you need to get in his pod. And so I didn't realize when I signed up, I wasn't thinking because like, you know, you're mentally just destroyed by the end of that thing. But like Wednesday or Thursday came around and somebody made a comment about me might not be in their pod. And I was like, what do you mean? I could be in everybody's pod. I wasn't even thinking that there was more judges than there were days.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap. Well, that sucks.
I live in his pod, Sam.
What's that?
I said I live in his pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need a freaking marble slab.
He needs a break from my pod, is what he's saying.
Yeah. You should have come down and hung out. It was a good time.
Yeah. So how old is Combat Syndicate?
So the martial arts portion is 5 years old. And then last year is when we opened the 24/7 gym. So I just moved into a 20,000 square foot building a little over a year ago. And then we just put in the 24/7 weightlifting facility upstairs of it. So it's a multi-level building. So we're growing a lot right now because of that. And I'm really sad that I didn't put in for the, the most investable business. I didn't understand what it was when he was talking about it and I was tired and I thought it was looking for investors. And I was like, I don't need that. We're already doing our thing. Oh. And then whenever it went through and then they were like calling the names, I was like, I should have put in for that.
You absolutely should have. So let's in this last segment that we have, I want to talk some about, obviously you pushed through a lot of challenges and probably had a lot of doubters along the way growing up. And as you've told us about your Lamborghini and now that you have that. So is there any piece of advice or something that you would share with people that are experiencing that doubt? We deal with people from all walks of life in our business. And literally I hear all the time, I can't do X, Y, or Z because of, and it's a doubter. It's an employer. It's a, you know, work relationship. And so I'm constantly kind of struggling myself with what do you tell them? Because we've experienced the same thing. And for me, it's just perseverance. And so it's not perseverance, you know, with the, you have a bad idea and you keep doing it. It's looking at data, making changes, but continuing to put one foot in front of the other. And it seems like for us, eventually things clicked and fell into place. What is it for you that you tell people when they feel like they can't go that next step or their business is not working, their life is falling apart?
Well, so a lot of the times, which we've all heard this, is like people that are telling you you can't do something, it's almost always because they don't want to see you succeed and do it because they have something, within themselves that's the problem. Like they maybe they wanted to be a business owner and they never did it. So they're just kind of like have that little bit of jealousy of like they don't want you to do it because it hurts them. So I always tell people like stuff like that. It's like you can't take it personally when people say things like that or when people try to discourage you because most of the time it has nothing to do with you. It's about them and how they feel with you doing that thing. It's why people all the time are like, oh, people that have money are they're just terrible people. But like most of the people I know that have money are the ones that are giving back to the schools and donating things and doing the food drive, like all those things, So that's one side of it. And then the other side, like for me, it was like I just wanted to like prove people wrong that I could do it. And that was my drive.
I love that.
Sometimes it's just sitting down and talking to them, like, when we were on the blocks, one of the guys that was on there competing, I don't want to say his name. I don't know if he would care or not, but he was just like sitting outside by himself. And I walked out there and I hadn't talked to him. I think he was in one of my pods. We hadn't really talked. And I sat down out there and I was like, hey man, I was like, what's going on? And he's a gay man. And he was telling me that he was like suppressing himself there because he didn't want to be judged and people to think he's annoying. And I was just sitting there talking to him. I was like, dude, I was like, to me, like you being yourself and like being excited and happy and having a great time. I was like, I love being around that. Like that makes me happy. Like I love being around that. I'm like, it's like that hype man that's just having a great time and living life on a higher level than what I am. Like to me, that's inspirational. It makes me feel good. And we were just talking about it, and he was just like, he's like, man, he's like, I really appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you. And he like went on to do really well on the show. And he was like, I could tell that he was like,
If it's the individual that I'm thinking about, and I won't call the name either, but I can't imagine that being suppressed.
yeah, well, he specifically said, I am holding back a lot of how I am.
Wow, I can only imagine that it wasn't if he didn't hold
Well,
back.
and so then that last night we were there, when we were having the going away party thing, we were standing there talking, and I was standing there with my girlfriend. And he told her that, like, I'm like the 1% of men, telling her just like how great I am and how different I am. And I was like, which I was like kind of taken aback from. And I thanked him and I gave him a hug. I was like, man, I was like, that means a lot. Thank you. But it was just something as simple as just like sitting down and caring.
But I find it interesting that he said that and that you picked up on that because I viewed him or saw him as incredibly confident. And so I think it goes to show you that what people project exteriorly may not be what they're feeling inside. Because I loved his energy, kind of the spirit that he had about the competition. I'm quite certain I know who you're talking about. And I found him very fun and engaging, and it seemed like a lot of people there, but obviously he was not feeling that confidence on the inside. And so I think that also goes to show you that people don't always, you don't necessarily know what's going on in their lives or behind the scenes of what they're processing mentally, because exteriorly they can project something that appears much more confident and calm. So let's talk about Combat Syndicate just a little bit here, because we've had a lot of good conversation. But tell me what the vibe is like in there. What's your age range of people? What's it like when you walk in the door?
The gym portion of it, the weightlifting portion, is a little bit older of a crowd. And so I priced it a little bit higher because I wanted that more like professionals. And it's a really nice gym with really nice equipment. So we have a little bit more of a mature crowd that uses that portion of it. And then like the martial arts portion of it, it's real laid back. It's fun. Like we're serious and we're learning stuff, but at the same time, it's like we're joking around in there. We're picking on each other. It's fun. Like they're coming in there and like they're just meeting people. Like we'll get, the shy kid that comes in that was getting picked on, or we'll get the kid that's like getting in trouble in school and their mom's just wanting them to learn something. And before it's over with, like these kids are their best friends in there. They're having to work with each other, and it's just like a real like community kind of like tight-knit vibe. It's just fun.
How do you feel that you guys are different than the next martial art? Like driving down Highway 90 here in front of our office. Between here and the next 3 miles down, I pass two. Like, what sets you apart from the others?
I think that, like, each gym's different. Like, you're going to have some that, like, they're so serious, they don't have any fun. Like, they're just like, competition is all that matters. And they're just, you come in there and it's almost like you're going to boot camp and it's like, you're doing these things and, you know, it just is what it is. And so we like keep it fun. We're still serious. Like, we have people that fight, we go to competitions, we do really well. But also we spend time talking and hanging out and BSing, and we'll go, we'll have like lake days where everybody, all the Combat Syndicate meets at the lake. And, you know, we just hang out there outside of it. So I think it's more like the community feel is what it is. And then also on top of it, you know, kind of like my background, I've had like teenagers come in that, you know, live pretty poor lives, and outside of class, you know, we'd maybe sitting on the mats just talking, and I can like kind of get an idea of where they're at and what's going on in their life. And I just am able to help people, you know. I had one kid, and I hate to say stuff like this because I feel like it's bragging, but it's just to say like what we're doing that's different. Like, one of the kids that was in my class, he like wrote one of his papers in high school was about his hero, and it was about me. And I didn't know, and his grandma told me that she had seen it. And so it's stuff like that, that like, I know that we're making a huge impact on people. And a lot of it's just caring. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not licensed. I just care about the people.
I don't know if it's that kid or not. I know I heard one of these stories last week, but either that one or another kid that you can recall that their life did a full 180 from either their mentorship from you or their participation in Combat Syndicate. Can you share one of those stories with us?
There's been a few that just like, so we'll get kids in that are just like, really just have zero confidence at all. It's just none. Like the kid I was telling you that, you know, was getting picked on and stuff. Like, he didn't have any friends really when he came in. He, you know, he played video games and all that stuff, which is fine. He just didn't have any friends. And like I said, zero confidence. He came in and he like excelled at this, and us just spending this time with him on top of it and building that confidence in him, he was losing weight. He was just really good at it. Like, this kid was really, really good at martial arts. So on top of that, we're just like, oh my God, this guy, he's so awesome. So it just makes him feel good. But yeah, like, he got in shape. He's still working out in the gym now. He used to never work out. He's in there all the time working out. He's doing really well in his work life. Like, he's got friends. He's outgoing now. Like, he's still not out, like, you know, hanging out the bar, like, friends with everybody out there, like, you know, extroverted like that. But he's definitely like, he's a confident person. Like, he doesn't, he's not walking around with his head ducked down, you know, waiting for somebody to pick on him or make fun of him. Or, you know, he's standing tall, and he looks good. Like, you can tell that like, this kid is taking care of himself now. You know, that's one. And then we had another kid that came in, and he was doing a little lawn mowing business, and he was doing class, and he like kind of started asking me about entrepreneurism, and I was giving him some tips and stuff. And, you know, same thing, this kid's like, you could see he's more confident now. Like, his business is doing well. He's actually off in the military right now, so he's just finishing up boot camp. But this kid had a really, really awful childhood, and he's living with his grandma now because of it. And just like little stuff like that, where we're just able to like just give a crap, you know.
I don't think those are necessarily little things.
Yeah, you light up and smile when you talk about it. So it sounds like a lot different.
There's so many stories of these kids. It's like I can't pick one because I'm just like, it's awesome.
Well, that was the hook. That's what got me interested in your story, actually, at breakfast. Obviously, I heard a lot of different business proposals and business pitches over the week. As a coach, we listen to, you know, 8 or 10 or more per day. But what really got me was that breakfast, and you did light up when you talked about it, and you talked about kind of your long-term vision and really one of the things that you want to do. So yes, you have a martial arts program. Yes, you have a gym, and you like people staying mentally and physically fit, but really kind of, I think what I got from it, your heart, your passion is in helping underprivileged youth. like people who are troubled or underprivileged and somehow giving them a path forward. But that comes with its own set of challenges. You know, really, I would think first and foremost, we talked about this, is funding for that. So, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing that we can let people know about that are trying to increase awareness in this space and trying to help get funding for these types of programs, not necessarily you individually, but these types of programs?
Well, let me tell you a quick story real quick and why I like think this mentorship is so important. So when you were saying that, I just remember this. So when I lived in the homeless shelter, they supplied us with school supplies, right? So we all got these blue backpacks and it was packed with all your school supplies, everything you needed. And we get dropped off at school and I'm feeling good. I got all my school supplies. I'm going to school. Well, as soon as I get there, everybody at the school knew what the black blue backpack was. Everybody knew immediately I was from the homeless shelter. So we get in a class and I'm trying to like find a pencil and my teacher comes over to help me find my pencil because apparently she thought that I was not intelligent because I lived in the homeless shelter and that I needed help to look in my backpack. So she like comes over and I'm like, this would be middle school at the time. So it's not like I'm like a little kid, like I can find my own stuff. Well, she comes over there like I'm just dumb, I guess. And she goes, she rips open my backpack and there's like deodorant and towels and like all this random stuff, right? And I'm like this middle schooler and everybody in there is like making little comments or laughing and joking because I've got, because like, why do I have deodorant and towels and stuff in my backpack? So like, having this supplies and stuff was, it was great, but like it ended up being this terrible experience having it. And like, when I think back, like now it's like, I didn't, that's not what I needed. And that's what most of the programs are out there is like, they make sure the kids have what, like their supplies or their food or whatever. And that's great. You do need that stuff, but there's nobody, there's not a lot of programs out there where people are actually spending time with kids, which is what they actually need. Like I didn't need all those supplies. I needed someone to give a shit about me. Like I needed somebody to like actually care about me or like try to help guide me through this life I was living. And so where I'm at now is like, I'm trying to do what people aren't doing. We have, even around where I live now, we have so many programs where it's like the back to school supplies, stuff the backpack, stuff the bus, like all these things. And again, those things are great and it's nice to have, but it did nothing for my mental health and how I actually felt day to day. And all I needed was just one person that just gave a crap, that came over and been like, hey man, how's it going? You know, that's why I care about the mentorship so much, because I think it's like the most important piece that we're missing. And when you talk about like the suicide rates being skyrocketed and like, especially in like young boys and stuff, but just in general in the youth, they have programs where they sit here and they watch videos on their computer and that's supposed to help them. Like, that's not what they need. They need somebody who actually spends time with them and gives a crap about them. That's what they need. And that's not out there. But as far as funding, like you were asking, we do get vouchers and stuff from like the mental health facility here in town. They'll help pay for some of those kids' classes. And then there's some stuff from the government that will help out, like kids that have like, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. Mental struggles.
Thanks
I
everyone
guess.
For tuning in for another
different things
of
like
Beauty
that. And then
brain.
Like the juvenile services,
we
get some stuff from them, but we're still trying to figure it out and figure out where all these resources are. And this is pretty new to us within the last 6 months or a year that we've started like getting some of the tribes are sending kids to us and they're covering. So like the people are seeing that there's a need for this and they are willing to help. I think that a lot of it is just they don't know how yet.
I was just sitting here thinking about like, because one of the things we're talking about is like the growth and like in 5-10 years, like are we going to see more combat syndicates? But the franchise piece of it's probably relatively easy to say we're going to go and we're going to have a martial arts studio and we're going to have a gym. the part of that that's going to be really, really difficult is the culture that you bring to it. Because I think, and I think about Chris and I, and we've been through this fairly recently, is like, I think I'm really good at doing lips, and I think I'm really good at doing Botox, but I think a lot of people don't see me necessarily because of that. I think they see because of the way we make them feel when they come here. And it's really hard when you own a business to grow that business with the same culture that you want it to have, you know? And so that's kind of some growing pains that we see. And listening to you talk, everything that you've talked about isn't scaling or making the business bigger, which is obviously the entrepreneur part of you wants to do. But how do you do that and maintain like your culture that made it to be what it is now?
Partly his culture, but I think it's his personality, because I think it's that one-on-one mentorship that you so value that you do the one-on-one. And then when we talk about limited resources, it is literally your time, because it's like you can't create more of that. And so how do you impact more people in the confinement of running a business, managing your personal life? You have a daughter that we haven't talked a lot about, but you have a daughter I know you're very proud of. You got to be a dad. And so you have to balance all of those things and help these kids. And I think that, as Jerry said, that's really hard to do, because how do you get other people as excited and as interested and truly has a genuine desire to help? Because yes, it needs to be funded, but obviously you're not doing that to get rich. You have your other businesses you can do to get rich, right? You're doing this because you care about those kids.
Yeah, this is like, I call it my passion project. I don't know if you want to call it that, but it's like, this is the thing that like, this is what lights me up. This is what I care about. Like, I don't give a crap about ice cream. I like eating it. It don't make me feel good to sell it.
I guess two questions. Do you see your youth program, whatever you want to call that, be it part of Combat Syndicate or separate than that, expanding beyond your local area?
I think that it can. And I think that it should. It would be one of those things where I would just have to like figure out how to package it to where like it can be replicated somewhere else. I don't think it's impossible. Like I said, I think that people want to help. I think they just don't know how. So I think if you like give them like kind of a playbook of like, okay, here, this is what we do. I think there's a lot of people out there that can still do what I'm doing, you know, if they have just a little bit of a help or a guideline to do it.
Any final things that you want to leave our listeners with, or any final thoughts that you have before we close out?
Off the top of my head, I guess I should have like came up with this, because I figured you guys were going to ask. But I would say, like, you know, if you have an opportunity to just spend a few minutes with somebody that you think is struggling, like, just do it. Like, it doesn't take much. And a lot of times it's just as simple asking somebody how they're doing. And it means the world to them to just show a little bit of care. That would be the biggest thing I think that can make a big impact that doesn't cost you a dime.
I appreciate your time more than you know, because I know that it's really valuable to all this great work that you're doing, and the fact that you would take time to share with us. To me, I really hope that our listeners can be inspired by your story and see that a little bit of effort, a little bit of care can make a big difference in people's lives. I also think it's interesting, the business aspect of this, to see what you've been able to overcome. I mean, by any definition, we wouldn't say an ideal childhood, but you've been able to still grow into a loving, caring adult. You don't have resentment or hate. Any kind of hate towards your mom. You're actually appreciative of how she fostered you to grow into this responsible, caring adult. And so you've done really amazing things with your life. And I think that's important for people to see out there that's struggling, that you can be successful, that you're not always handed things on a silver platter, and you can still, you know, make a really great life with what you're given. So thank you for taking time. Thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate it more than you know.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's always one of those things when we're preparing for these, if it's a guest that I don't know, I'm like, how are we going to make this a podcast? And I feel like we could talk another hour easily. So maybe we'll do another episode in the future. So been a pleasure having you with us, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Yeah, because I would also, like, we hadn't even really gotten into, you know, people, it's like you said, where I came from, that's another big thing that I want to inspire people and show them, is like, it doesn't matter what your childhood looked like and where you're at today, you can make changes and you can do, Like we always say, you can do anything you want in life, but like, which is this cliche thing that people say, but like, I'm sitting here saying like, okay, look what I did from where, am I the richest person in the world? No, but like, I have a pretty good life.
And a Lamborghini.
And a Lamborghini.
But like, I shouldn't have made it. Like, I shouldn't be here. Like, if you look at like how I was raised and you just knew me from a child, you would just be like, oh yeah, that's his life. Like, he's just gonna be, a poor kid struggling forever. So I think that it's just too, for people that are struggling in life, it's like, oh, okay, like so maybe there is light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe I can put in a little work and effort and I can make a change. 'Cause I think people lay down, they just give up because they're like, well, this is my life. This just is what it is.
I think that's what I kind of was getting to and didn't articulate it that well earlier when I said perseverance. People just get to a point and they kind of give up because they just accept what's given in front of them versus like we need to continue on because the next day may be the day that you cross over that hump and things start to get better. So it's putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm not saying ignore the data when things aren't going well to make changes, but to keep persevering because you never know when that next day is going to be the better day.
I think if we can give people the will to just fight another day, then that's a win. That's we won.
All right. Thank you so much, Sam. We appreciate it. I hope the rest of your day is good. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.